Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about love, or, more correctly put, movements around the world that propagate love and the way other people treat them. Lately, we heard about the Sufis, but there are also many other minorities in the world that are treated poorly. We'll try to understand why. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, lately we heard a lot about the Sufis on the media, maybe especially because Islam is portrayed in such violent and aggressive colors that to suddenly discover that there is a current among them calling for love and unity surprises many people. And on the background of all of the attacks against them, including the biggest attack against Sufis that took place in Egypt, suddenly we see many articles about Sufis and why is jihadist Islam against them. So from what I read, it's not a certain current within Islam, but it's an approach that Sunnis and Shiites belong to. People that their attitude towards religion is internal. They believe in achieving connection with the Creator still in this world, not like jihadists say after death. They have different practices of their own, and this really makes the traditional religion angry. So, first of all, how do you see these denominations, currents within religions that talk about love and unity? And why does it make others so angry in our times? This is really a very broad, ancient, deep subject that exists in all religions, in everything that people are engaged in. It's so broad that I really don't know where to start. Let's put it this way. The easiest is to start from the origin of creation, that man's ego is multifaceted. It's various. And it's divided into layers. Like we have the inanimate, vegetative animate in speaking in nature, the very same way in our desire, there are layers. Suppose 1, 2, 3, 4. The degrees of our ego, the degrees of our desire. The Jews, they have the biggest desire, number 4. And their ego, meaning, is very big. In a state where it's corrupt, it's the worst. In a state where it's corrected, it's the best. The other nations, I don't want to say who are they on the first, second, or third degrees, but it corresponds. The damaging force against the beneficial force. For better or for worse. Within Judaism, we also have people that aspire only for ordinary life, and people that aspire to attain the Creator. Not religious people, but that aspire to attain the Creator. And there are very few that they have a desire to discover the meaning, the purpose, the essence of life, that without that, their life feels meaningless. If I live without a meaning in life, without attaining who am I, what am I, why am I, then I'm a beast. This is what a person who has the fourth degree of development of the ego feels. And then he's willing to do anything in order to attain that. And these people, they come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. People that are within the fourth degree of the will to receive, but a bit less than that, then they're drawn to the ordinary Torah, the Torah of the common folk. And then they observe the commandments, they perform different ceremonies because they have an inclination towards it, that they think that by that they keep the desire of the upper force And as a result, they'll have reward or, God forbid, punishment in this world. And certainly that the main reward or, God forbid, punishment comes to a person in the next world. And therefore, they're interested in getting a good reward both in this world and in the next. These people come to religion. It's easier, more accessible, more understood, everyone does it, there's lots of support, as opposed to those that go to the wisdom of Kabbalah that have to scrutinize what is the meaning, the purpose of life. They're not that much about ceremonies, meaning observing the external mitzvot, but about observing the inner commandments, precepts, which is love of others, connection between people, attaining the internality of the Torah, which is love another as thyself. And there is the common folk that doesn't want anything. They want a normal life according to what they see in life within their will to receive, which is even less than that of others, less than that of Kabbalists, less than that of the religious people. He doesn't care about the upper force. He just wants to have a good life, live a good life in this world. And of course, in between, there's an entire spectrum. People that are a bit in this, a bit in that. This pertaining to the Jews. Now, pertaining the lower degrees of the will to receive, that pertains, suppose, to Arabs. Then there, too, there are those that are yearning for the meaning of life, the purpose of life. And for them, attaining the Creator, it's not about attaining Him, but as if to identify with Him. They don't have such a deep ego, will to receive, where they're truly demanding to be connected with the Creator the way a person can be connected to a friend, with a friend. But it's enough in a, let's call it, mystic way, emotional way, to feel that I'm together with Him, with the upper force. Without attaining it, attaining Him, both in desire and in thought, in intellect, in mind and heart, like in Judaism, like in the wisdom of Kabbalah. No, they don't use the intellect, but only the heart, emotions, and not the same feeling as in the fourth degree, like with Kabbalists, but on the third degree, meaning on a degree less. And it's really felt as less. Meaning, it suits everyone, whoever feels that he has an inclination towards it. And there are many people who have this inclination. Men, women. There are such circles also in Judaism that say the same that Sufis do. We have to pray. We have to feel good and nice together. We have to seclude ourselves. We have to attain the Creator in our feelings. He's here among us. Look, He's present everywhere. And it's enough for them. There are also such Jews in different methods, different mystical methods, and also among non-Jews. But among the Sufis, it's very conspicuous. The dances they have, the mantras, and so on. Something that's very far from the wisdom of Kabbalah. In Judaism, we see all the books and the meticulous studying and so on. Yes, because we have to draw the upper light for it to change us, for it to create changes in our inner structure, what we call in order to bestow. Whereas for them, it's something more natural. It's just to rise a bit above the ego through connection, through dance, through prayers. And they're called Sufis. And they have teachers of their own for thousands of years. And it's also something that you can take at the university. in the faculty for Kabbalah and Judaism. You study that too. And I met many of them around the world. They fled the different Arab countries, Iran, Syria, Iraq, those countries where you really have fundamentalistic Islam. And under the authority of Israel or Egypt, they live somehow in Sinai and also in Egypt, but very cautiously. I visited this one Sufi in England together with our friends. He was old already. I don't think that he's still alive. Back then he was already ill and in bed. And I asked him, how can I become your disciple? He said, it's simple. You have to love me. I said, what does it mean to love? What can I do about my heart? He said, by doing everything that I say, you'll clean the floor, you'll prepare everything for me, and everything that I'll say, you'll do. And then, by such actions that you do, you'll get closer to me, and you'll start integrating with everything that I have, and this way, you'll attain. And really, there was this one guy there called John, an Englishman, that you'd never believe that he's willing to do it. And he was on the floor all the time, meaning whatever the Sufi tells him or even doesn't tell him, he did everything without even getting on his knees that much. And that's it. And there are many others of the kind. I met them in the United States, and also, I can't remember, I think in Belgium. I talked to many of them, many such people. I immediately understood them. What do they belong to? I also knew it from the wisdom of Kabbalah, about all the different desires and what do they belong to what level of desire, and then correspondingly what method. And this is how they are. Of course, there are those that truly oppose them in radical Islam, because radical Islam says that here in this world we have to observe all of their commandments in practice and protect ourselves and fight all of our enemies. And the main thing is that with all our weapons, with all of our physical might, we have to bend the entire world under Islam and not towards love among people. Meaning, it is very opposed to what the Sufis say. And it's very similar to what's going on in Judaism. Because in Judaism, the wisdom of Kabbalah says, love another as thyself. This being the great rule of the Torah that includes everything. We have to find a way for all the Jews to connect. The religious and the seculars and the Kabbalists and everyone, including everyone from all the different denominations, we have to cancel all of our differences. The main thing is for us to connect in love and connection. This is what the upper force wants of us. All in all, the general system of nature. And if we don't do it, we're simply hurting ourselves and the entire world, because we owe it to the rest of the world to set an example of being light onto the nations. And therefore, when Kabbalists say that, then all the rest of the denominations in Judaism don't like them, even the seculars, because no one wants it. So Kabbalists, to this day, since the temple was destroyed, and to this day, Kabbalists are rejected, really pushed aside. And only now, lately, can we allow ourselves to start talking about it. Because times are becoming really hard, demanding correction. And the correction is also the connection among everyone, including the nations of the world. We see what's going on in the world. Nothing will help. They have to connect. Only will there first come great disasters, or will there first come the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah? If we take ISIS, for example, today, or in recent years, that ISIS became so popular in the world, being a threat to all countries, what is then the other force, the Sufi force, against the negative force of ISIS? And why does ISIS feel the need to kill and destroy? Yeah, of course, ISIS are willing to kill all the Sufis. For them, they are enemies. There's an ideological hate here that they really can't agree with, because the Sufis, in their explanation, they really destroy ISIS, because they say that the entire approach should come through love and connection, where it doesn't matter what your nationality is, what your religion is, but only the connection between people. Actually, like the wisdom of Kabbalah says. And therefore, like, people don't like the wisdom of Kabbalah, to say the least, among the people of Israel, the same way they dislike Sufis in Arab countries. I saw that it exists in other places too, also in China, where you have the Falun Dafa, that they're trying to erase the people of Tibet, that the Chinese are also going against. So if there are such movements that talk about love in different places, that talk about loving each other and so on, then there are those that have a problem with it. Of course, because it erases the other side, saying that the other side is wrong. Look what we see among the people of Israel, the denominations, the separation, the rifts. It's terrible. How is it possible that the state of Israel exists already for 70 years, where no one is standing in our way of connecting with each other, of educating the people for connection, and see what's happening from year to year? There's greater and greater hatred among the people towards one another, and there's no end in sight. And the religious, they also set an example of how each of them is in their own synagogue, God forbid not to mix with others, and so on. Why do they dislike people that are in favor of love, then? Because it contradicts their uniqueness, that they know the truth. Okay, there are many people that have a different opinion than mine. No, that's impossible. You're either religious or secular. Religious say, this is our opinion, this is the opinion of Israel, I know, and in this regard, I'm holy, I'm a big rabbi. And they're the seculars who simply don't know, so they're not about it. There isn't that much of a contradiction, because the secular isn't against the religious. They're simply not about it. Whereas what's against the common religious person is a Kabbalist who says that love another as thyself is the great rule of the Torah. This is what we have to keep. And if we don't have this goal in everything that we do, because this is the rule, it has to include all of our actions, then we're not observing the mitzvot and the Torah in principle, the way it's supposed to be. And this is something that the religious world doesn't really agree with. And also we know that there are the people that can simply follow this approach instead of the traditional religious approach, let's call it. Of course, there are those people that ask about the meaning of life, the purpose of life. They want to attain the upper force. And then, as a result, they try to get to know it. So they come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. And then, of course, the wisdom of Kabbalah, since the destruction of the temple and on, is hated by Judaism. But also in the wisdom of Kabbalah, there are many, let's say, levels. There are also the different mystics that are like the Sufis that study only as if what it says in the wisdom of Kabbalah without attaining it. And therefore, it's what Bala Sulam called Jerusalem Kabbalists. Also, there are many different kinds of methods, the Agra method, the Ramak method, and so on. There are many politicians, leaders nowadays that hope that through currents like the Sufis, they'll be able to somehow balance radical Islam and so on. No, that can't be because the Sufis are almost a non-existing minority. In Egypt, there are 15 million. It doesn't matter. They have no power. Have no power, meaning on the political map, national map, and so on. So 15 million, what is that compared with 200 million? And what do they have as a result besides going to their mosques, the places where they meet and dance there, pray there? And that's all they do. Because practically there is no other remedy for radical religion. It's not a remedy either. They can't resist or cope with the radical Islamists. Why? Because they don't disseminate this approach, the Sufi approach. And besides, they subordinate, meaning the hatred is stronger than the love. Of course, hate is very powerful because it has what to base itself on. What? Hate? It's the greatest force in our world. Look, everywhere you have hate. There are a few such, let's call them, do-gooders that have what? They're powerless. Their religion, their attitude itself says that it is forbidden for us to exert the force of evil. And the good force in our world is non-valid. It's kind of sad because in a deteriorating world, we need these people. No, they can't be. They can't draw people in our world to themselves because our world is becoming more and more egoistic. And therefore, to go to Sufis and to approach them, I don't think that they're increasing in numbers, all the more that it's really dangerous. But there are also many other such movements in our world. There are different mystical movements, but they're so far from one another that they're powerless and have no common ground. There's even certain hostility between them, even though that they're all as if in favor of love and connection, but each is willing to kill everyone else for his own method of love and connection. And that's mankind. And really, I'm not impressed with it, because the ball is in our hands, in the hands of the Jews. And we have to do something with what we have. But this is also something that we don't hear. And it's really hard for us to publicize to the people of Israel what is their destiny, what we have to do. All the other methods, besides the wisdom of Kabbalah, have no connection with the upper force. And if they have no connection with the upper force, how will they fight? What do you mean, have no connection with the upper force? They can't draw through certain interactions that they'll keep amongst them and in each one of them the upper force to make changes both in them and also in others. When we gather, suppose, in small groups, in so-called tens, we meaning in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Yeah, in the wisdom of Kabbalah. And we perform special actions. By that, we draw the upper force called the reforming light. And through us, it also influences the external world, like Bala Sulam explains in the introduction to the Book of Zohar. At the end of the introduction to the Book of Zohar. And therefore, we have the strength to influence the world this way through our correction. To the extent to which we correct in the groups and in the connection between us, to that extent, the upper light works through us, influencing the lower levels. And if we really carry out, realize our destiny, our role, then certainly around us, gradually, things change. And this is how we hope to reach correction. Last question. Why are people that support and propagate love are being threatened, attacked, killed? We can say that Islam is reaching its final stage of radicalism, and if they could, they'd do it to everyone. They'd blow up the world and kill everyone. Because the way they see it, it's favorable in the eyes of the upper force, that the upper force enjoys Islamists killing innocent people. And therefore, this is what we see. I'm very pessimistic. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.